now time for the Bible reading, and today we'll read from Revelation 19, verse 1 to 10. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants." And again they shouted, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, and they cried, "Amen, hallelujah." Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great." Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters and loud peals of thunder, shouting, "Hallelujah! For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear." Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." And he added, "These are the true words of God." At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy."
Thank you, Moshe. And let me add my word of welcome. It's so good to be with all of you. As Moshe has already mentioned, dear brothers and sisters, it's Sunday number 3 in our vision series, Loving God, Loving Our Community, and today, Loving the Church. But while we stay that, I need to stop just for a moment and ask a question. What is the church that we have and are speaking about in our vision? I ask that because if you think of the people in your street, my guess is that most of them don't go to church. And most of them, when they hear the word church, think of a building like this. But it's hard to love a building. How do you love the church? What is the church? Well, the church, as we're going to talk about it today, is the people of God, those whom God has set his love on from eternity and through the gospel and his grace has drawn to himself. It is the people for whom he sent his son, Jesus, that group within humanity for whom Jesus died and in which live his spirit. They love Jesus. They want to live for Jesus because he has loved them and changed them and is working in them from the inside out. That's the church. It can be the big C church from the time of Adam and Eve all the way through to the last day, where God is gathering a people through his Son by the gospel for himself. That's the big C church. But today, we're going to focus on the small C church. We're going to focus on Riverbank, the people of God here. Me, you, us. Love the church. But sometimes that's hard, isn't it? Let's be honest with one another. People can be negative and critical, and they can hurt you. The church council can make a decision and you think it's a terrible decision. You can sit through a service and maybe the sermon was too long and the songs, you go, that was woeful. People say that. People write that to us at church council. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Lots of people in our community have been hurt by the church. And the pastors in the church, well, they're clearly not perfect. Why should we love the church? Why is it so much part of our vision here at Riverbank? The best reason I can think of is that Jesus does. He loves his church. He loves Riverbank deeply. He knows our faults. He sees us, warts and weirdness and all. But he loves us anyway. And here's why. Because the church is his bride. And today we're going to focus on the wedding day. The big day that Jesus, the bridegroom, is looking forward to. And that his church is also looking forward to when we will be together. So our focus today is going to be on the wedding. We're actually looking at the whole foundation, not so much the details of why we have the vision that we have. But to do that, we must understand that this is a very unique wedding that we focused on in Revelation 19. Because for the first time in human history, we have a perfect bridegroom. We have a perfect bride. And on the day they get married and start their new life together, it really will be happily ever after. That has never happened before in human history. But it will happen on that day. And that's what we're going to focus on. Now let's just think about Revelation 19 for a moment. There's a lot in that book of Revelation that's a little bit hard to grasp, but Revelation 19 is one of the easier passages, if I may put it that way. And what we are seeing there, we are fast-forwarding to the big wedding day, the last day when Christ, the bridegroom, has come and he is going to reclaim his bride. And the great prostitute, Babylon, that has occupied so much of the chapters leading up to chapter 19. Everything that is evil and wicked and sinful and wrong and unjust and broken and crooked, it's all gone. And it's the wedding day. And the Lord God Almighty is on the throne. And his Son comes and weds his bride. Four times in six verses. Hallelujah. And like any wedding, there's joy and there's noise and there's celebration. We're going to focus on that this morning. But before we do, we have to see some background. Because in Revelation chapter 19, we're almost at the end of the Bible, and this whole wedding thing is going to occupy us in chapter 20 and 21 as well, if we were to read through. But there's a whole Bible that's led up to that. And what we need to grasp is this theme of the bride and her bridegroom. That's been there all the way. So let's have a look at some of this background, the bride and the bridegroom theme. And if you want to, you'll find it in the book of Jeremiah, you'll find it in Hosea, you'll find it in the book of Isaiah, and it shot through. It's like this thread that holds everything in the Old Testament together. And I'll quote just one verse from Isaiah 54, verse 5. It's beautiful. It begins and says, "Your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is his name. The Holy One of Israel is his Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth." And I'll say that again. So here is your Maker. He Here is the Lord Almighty. Here is the Holy One of Israel. Here is the Redeemer. And he is your bridegroom. And the whole thrust through the Old Testament is that God is the bridegroom and he has chosen for himself a bride. I'm just wondering, Sean, have we got some issues with the sound there? Would it be easier if I use that?
No, can you speak up louder?
I can, but you might not.
Yeah, no, that's good, because then I'll turn you down a bit. So that's, I've got it very high to pick you up.
Okay, I'm sorry about that. How's that?
Yep.
That's good? Okay, just let me know if it's not. That's the trouble with these sound guys. They can switch you off any time they like. That man has a lot of power.
Sometimes we're very tempted.
Can we get back to the script? The bride and the bridegroom theme. God is the husband. He has chosen his bride, the nation Israel. And through that nation, he will send his son. But his bride is an unfaithful bride. His bride is an adulterous wife. But he loves her anyway. Now come with me into the New Testament and we'll begin with the ministry of Jesus. Think of his teaching. Think of his parables. Do you recall how Jesus spoke of himself as being the bridegroom? No need to fast while the bridegroom is here, Jesus said. Rejoice! And his parables, the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And his parable of the king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. And he invited the guests to come, and some of them spurned the invitation. And he said, go out into the highways. Get them all in. We need to fill the banqueting hall because this is the wedding of my son. So why does Jesus focus on weddings and bridegrooms and brides? Why? Because he wants us to understand who we are in his love. And he wants us to understand that we're heading for the big day. And he wants us to understand that world history will not end in a nuclear holocaust. And the world will not end if climate change takes over. The world is going to end with a wedding. Our wedding. The wedding of the Lamb and his bride. And there's more in the New Testament. Just one verse from Ephesians chapter 5. This classic passage where the Apostle Paul speaks of the fact that Christ died for his bride, the church. He is at work in his bride, the church. He is washing her. He is cleansing her. He is making her holy. And on the big day, she will appear before him as a radiant church, without stain, without wrinkle, without any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Oh, friends, do you see the background? That's the background. Why should we love the church? Because Jesus does. It's his bride. And that raises the question, do you love what Jesus loves? As you think on that, let's go to the wedding day. We're fast forwarding to Revelation chapter 19. And there are two things I'd like you to note in the verses we're going to look at, which is verses 6 to 8. The first one you have to listen for, and the second one you have to look at. Let's have a listen to this joyful celebration. Hallelujah, we read. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Paul Tripp says on this, note what they're saying. They are not saying, I got the job. My marriage is fantastic. My kids worked out well. I defeated depression. I mastered my fears. Friends, these are good things. These are blessed things that the Lord gives to us. But that's not what they are saying. They are rejoicing because the Lord God Almighty is on the throne. And his plan of salvation that he has worked through his Son and his gospel through the ages has come to pass. And there before him is this multitude of people that no one can count. This patchwork quilt of people from every tribe and language and nation and culture and tongue. And they are all united in one thing, the praise and glory of their bridegroom, Jesus. And these people, they love him and they live for him. Many of them have sacrificed, some of them have suffered, and now the big day has come and the waiting is over and they are ready by his grace, because the bridegroom has come and they're going to marry him and they are going to live happily ever after. Have you heard the note of joy? We're eavesdropping on the big day there. But now have a look. Have a look at the very thing that often people focus on. Have a look at what the bride is wearing. What does her dress look like? Let's read it. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. The finest of linen. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Have a look at this. And to my brothers who are married, I want to ask you, how many of you guys bought your wife's wedding dress? Jesus bought his bride's wedding dress. The pure white clothes of his righteousness. You see, that's what happened at the cross. On the cross, he got our sin, our shame, and we get his righteousness. Everything that is beautiful, everything that is pure, everything that is holy about Jesus, we get that. That's his righteousness. And that's what we must see here. It cost him his blood. It cost him his life. But he did it anyway because he loves us that much. And I'm asking us together that we would see ourselves this way, that you would look at yourself this way. Look at this, all your sin, all your failing, all your brokenness, all your shame, all your pain. It's all gone. All your guilt, all your regrets, all those things you wish you'd never said, you'd never done, and now you can't change that. They're all gone. And you stand there as pure and holy and beautiful as Jesus Christ himself. But also see this, that you're not just one of the invited guests at the wedding. You're not even just a bridesmaid. You are the bride. And Jesus looks into your eyes and he says three words. You are beautiful. And his heart breaks with love for you. And he will not be exaggerating. And friends, I want to say that maybe you've come here today gripped, enslaved by a particular sin that has beaten you again and again and again. Maybe you're here today and you're married and your marriage is far, far short of what God wants for you. Maybe you still carry around the guilt and pain of past relationships. Maybe you know that you are not righteous, that you need to change. And I want to say to you, and to all of us, there is hope. Because Jesus promises us here that change is possible. And he will do what no human being can. He will work in us to make us pure and holy and blameless and beautiful. And he will be ravished with love for us. Change is possible. It will happen. He's so good at this. Just come to him. Confess your sin to him and receive him as your Savior if you haven't already. And if you have, go back to him. He will meet you wherever you are. Jesus loves you. He loves his church. He died so that he could get you to the wedding day. And he wants you there with him. Do you love what Jesus loves? Because at Riverbank we want that to be our vision. We want to love this church. But how? How will we put legs under this vision? We've seen the background. We've seen the wedding. We know what's ahead. But how between now and then will this happen? Well, I think two things are important. There's a whole lot more. But two things I want to mention. And the first is this morning, look into the mirror. What do you see? Friends, one of the things that sin does is that it gives us a laser-sharp vision, a very clear vision about the faults, failings, and sins in other people. But it makes us blind to our own. Matthew 7, verse 3, Jesus said, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but don't see the log in your own? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, but don't see the log in your own?" All of us should look into the mirror and ask one question. Am I part of the problem? Or will I be part of the solution? We could also ask, am I greeting new people? Am I giving sacrificially to support the church and its work into the future? Do I connect with people? Do I show hospitality? Do I criticize the church? And if I do I do that humbly? Do I do that to people who can actually help make things better? Do I do that in ways that are constructive and build up rather than break down? Am I part of the problem or willing to be part of the solution? Let all of us look into the mirror today. But secondly, dear me, I did have another slide. Don't worry about it. If you can find it there, the slide was love one another. Mosh had it up beforehand. The words of Jesus that we love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. What can help us do that in ways that build up and don't break down? Can I share two things that I've had to learn along the way? I pray for thick skin and a big heart. I've been on the receiving end, as Pastor Jack has and any elder has, of a fair bit of flack from time to time. Some of it justified, but not all of it. I pray for thick skin and a big heart. And there's something else I've had to learn, and it's a very hard lesson. I pray that I will learn from my critics. Friends, learn from our critics. You may not like what they have to say, but you should listen to them. It may be that 90% of what they say is quite wrong. Look for the 10% that isn't. Let's learn from our critics. Because the stakes are high here. If we are negative, critical, and angry about the church, we will lose our kids, and we will certainly lose visitors. But if we try and work at creating a new community with this vision, if we grasp this vision, we are going to see wonderful, wonderful results under the blessing of God, and only and always by His grace. Just think about what will happen if we grasp this vision. We are going to go into the years ahead, and we are going to be praying, and we are going to be working to get a church that will be altogether different to anything you will find in the community today. Let me just quote from you from John Piper. Under His blessing, God will build you a God-exalting, Christ-admiring, Spirit-filled, Bible-enjoying, grace-preaching, convenience-defying, cross-embracing, risk-taking, selfishness-crucifying, gossip-silencing, prayer-saturated, future-thinking, outward-reaching, beautifully human congregation where the undeserving can thrive. And that sort of community shows the world the beauty and attractiveness of Christ and His gospel, and people are drawn to that. And we should encourage that vision. One quote from one person from this book, true story. A single mum who hadn't been to church enjoyed coming to church for the simple reason it was the first time she met men who were not cruel. In a broken culture where there is increasingly hate and division, let us be the very opposite as we grasp this vision. Let's love the church. When Jesus looks at us, He knows all our sins and failings, but He sees us through grace-filled eyes. Jesus sees Riverbank as His bride. We should too. Will you join us in that vision? Amen. Let's pray. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, we come to You and we ask that You would fill us with this vision. That You would firstly remind us of who You are, that You are the God of endurance, You are the God of encouragement, You are the God of hope. And we need these things because sometimes there are challenging circumstances. In the church, at times there are difficult people, and there are at times unexpected disappointments. Give us every good thing we need, and help us live radically committed to this vision of the church being Your bride. We want to love our church, but sometimes that's hard. Please forgive us when we've been negative, critical, silly, sinful, and self-centered. Please help us to do better. You're the only one who has the resources sufficient for the task. Give us thick skin and a big heart. Help us love one another as we have been loved by you. And let us show the world a different way, a better way, and help us as your body, your bride, your holy bride, to show the world the beauty of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Help us to wait well as we wait for the wedding day. Put this vision in our head, in our heart, and put legs under it for your glory, for our good, for the blessing of this community and the praise of your holy name. Dear Lord, hear us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.